Dear eternal and everlasting Father, we come to you this morning, God. God, we don't need another reason to praise you, God. You've already done enough, God. So, God, we ask, God, that you would just move in this service this morning. That, God, we would hear from you and not necessarily from me, God. Speak through me, God. Speak to me, God. We bless your name this morning. We honor you for who you are. It is in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. We're going to spend the next 4 or 5 Sundays in a series. The name of the series, or the title of the series, will be A Night with the Master. We're going to look at the last night of Jesus' earthly ministry. We're going to conclude this on Resurrection Sunday. But there are many of people do not know the entire story of everything that Jesus encountered that last night. They don't really understand the trouble that Jesus faced in those last 24, 36 hours. We're going to begin our first series, installment 1, in the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. You say amen when you have it. John, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse number 1, and it reads, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, and having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God." From these 3 verses, I'd like to take for a thought an endless love, an endless love. In some discussion with some of my contemporaries and pastor friends and preachers of the gospel, scholars, I've come to discover that preaching on love is not a popular thing to preach about. Sometime, some kind of way, they have misconstrued the message of the Bible. And a lot of them seem to believe that the message of the Bible is about sin. And that's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is an unfailing love that God has for mankind. It is an unconditional love that God has for mankind. The problem with today in preaching on sin is that a lot of preachers are afraid that if they preach on love, then people will begin to take the word of God for granted, that they'll begin to live any kind of way. But that is absolutely contrary to what the Bible tells us. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us and it commands us to love. The problem is that what type of love are we talking about here? Are we talking about this wishy-washy, fluffy, feel-good love? Well, that's not what the Bible describes here when it comes to love. The Bible describes a self-sacrificing love. As a matter of fact, the love has been demonstrated by our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you really, really want to get a look and take and see what real love looks like, look at the life of Jesus Christ. And never will you ever find that Jesus lived a life of sin. It has been said that one of the greatest problems that this world faces is a sin problem. And true enough, we have a sin problem. But the greatest problem that we have is a lack of genuine godly love. Because at the root, if you boil down to sin, the root of every sin is pride and selfishness. And both of them go against the love of God. You'll never see in Scripture where God was ever selfish about anything. As a matter of fact, it is God that created us in his image and in his likeness, and it is God that blew the breath of life into us. We became a living soul. And because we are a living soul, God has prepared a place for us to live eternally with him. And it takes a God that would do that, even in the face of our sinning in his face. Because many of us have sinned with our eyes wide open. We know we've sinned. We planned sin. We set sin up. We've engaged sin. But God yet still loves. Jesus is entering the last 24 hours of his earthly ministry. The text tells us because he says that his time has come. There are many a times in the gospel where God has stopped some things because Jesus' time had not come yet. There was a due time for Christ to come and to give his life. And the reason why God made that due time, because God gave Jesus an opportunity to teach us how to love. And you have this in the four gospel writers. You have the three synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that shows the action of God. Matthew shows Jesus as the promised king that was to come. Mark shows him as a servant, the one who would come and serve. He said that I did not come to be served, but I came that I might serve and give my life a ransom. Luke shows the social aspect of Jesus and how he cared for the marginalized, how he cared for the disenfranchised, those ones who did not have much of anything. But John comes to show him as the Son of God in full power, full authority. As a matter of fact, all through the Gospel of John, you'll see the divinity of Christ jumping off the pages. And he begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. Now listen, what this tells us is that before anything was anything, Jesus was there. Before anything was created, Jesus was there. He had no earthly beginning because he was before even his birth. If you don't believe me, look in the book of the eighth chapter when he was addressing the Pharisees. And he was telling them about themselves. And he told them, listen, you talk about you follow your father Abraham. Jesus said that before Abraham was, he said, I am. He uses the word I am, which is an Old Testament name of God. So in other words, Jesus saying that, listen, I don't have a beginning. He said, I'm like Melchizedek, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He has no beginning. He has no end. He's God. And he takes this occasion to sit down with the ones that are closest to him. They are the 12 that he chose. God gave him the ability to choose 12 men. And Jesus chose them wisely. Although all of them had their problems, they all had their faults, they all had their situation, Jesus yet chose them. And I'm glad that he did. Because one of the ones that he chose was a man named Judas. Here Jesus sits that he would have with his disciples. And it tells us that Jesus loved them to the end. In other words, Jesus loved them with an unfailing love. This love is not predicated on how they perform, because none of them performed well. Peter was always jumping up and putting his foot in his mouth, but Jesus still loved him. I believe it was Thomas that doubted him, Brother Chestnut, but God still loved him. Philip has some problems with insecurity and a lack of faith, but yet God still loved them. All of them had some problems. Nathaniel was a skeptic. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But he still loved them. And listen, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your circumstance, your situation is, but understand that God still loves you. You see, because the devil will try to get us to believe that God does not love us when trouble comes our way. But just because trouble comes your way, it does not mean that God does not love you. What God is saying is, I'm trying to get you to trust me in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your problem, in the midst of your situation. Trying to get you to love me. Not nowadays. Nowadays, the church does not operate with this genuine type love. You say, Brother Pastor, how do you know that? Because we don't treat each other like we ought to treat each other. There's still too much backbiting, still too much gossiping, still too much fighting and infighting in the church. I'm not talking about this church. But the reality of it is that you can see genuine love. You can testify when love is genuine. You can tell, it don't take long for you to be in the face of someone and can be able to discern whether or not they're genuinely loving one another. You see, because if you really love God, then you would keep his commandments. Here's the connection between love and sin. Because if you love God like you should, which is with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, if you're loving God with all of that, you want to keep his commandments. As a matter of fact, you feel compelled to keep his commandments. You dare not sin against God. But even when we do, even when I do fall, even when I do sin, there's a Holy Ghost that gets a hold of me, begins to work deep down on the inside of me, begins to tell me that I'm wrong, begins to tell me that I need to repent. That's a good indication. Because if you don't love God, you can ignore any type of conviction whatsoever. We need to understand that we need to begin to love one another as Christ said, love one another. And we love him by being obedient to his word, being obedient to what he has said, what he has commanded. And it starts with us treating one another right, because even if you get this right, that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy mind, you still must love your neighbor as your It takes us looking. It takes us observing. It takes us having a discerning spirit. Can I get a towel? Please, so one of the nurses, bring me a towel. Sorry about that. But it takes us loving God and loving other people. I told them in Bible study, you know, a lot of times most of us don't have a problem with loving God. The problem comes when it comes time to loving each other. And so let's look at it. There's six primary reasons that we can tell, how we can tell whether or not we are loving like God told us to love. The first reason is, are we selfless? Are we willing to put others before us? This takes us being honest with ourselves. Do we just want it our way? Or have we come into a place to where we realize that we must esteem others better than us? Understand that if everyone in this church would put others before themselves, how far could we go as a church? Amen, amen, and amen. But now we want everything our way. We want it how we want to have it. And if it ain't going our way, then we're going to backbite, we're going to talk, we're going to gossip. Amen, somebody. Because some of us have been guilty of that. Because it's not going my way, I'm going to talk about the situation. I'm not going to get in and try and help and see how I can help fix it. But because it's not going your way. Listen, even as being the pastor, everything does not go my way. I don't expect it to go my way. And the reason why I don't expect it to go my way, because there are far smarter people in this congregation than me. And I know that I can get something from everybody. Because I realize that it's not about me. I've come to find that it's not about, it's more about you than it is about me. And this is what Jesus displayed. It wasn't about Jesus. His mission was not about him. It was about everybody else. The second way, and this is going to get most of us. The second way, reason why we can know if we've been loving like Jesus told us to love is, have we learned how to forgive? Listen, this involves someone who has harmed you. Someone who has brought some type of harm to you. Someone who has betrayed you or betrayed your trust. Listen, don't you know that Jesus is experiencing that right now? He's sitting at the table, feeding the one, washing the feet of the one that would ultimately betray him. But it was Jesus that cried from Calvary's cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And how many of us are sitting here, up here, with unforgiveness in our hearts? You haven't forgiven someone who has injured you or has hurt you years ago. This is what Jesus says in Matthew, the sixth chapter. He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses," listen here, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you." He said, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You want God to forgive you of your sin. The time that you betrayed him, the time that you walked out on him, the time that you didn't honor him, but yet and still, you won't forgive the person who had a little bit of speck in their eyes. That's all it is, a little speck. But you won't forgive them. You know, Jesus talked about that, about the man who owed a debt to the king, a great debt. And how he went to the king and asked him, "Please forgive me of the debt that I have." And the king forgave him. But as soon as the king forgave him, he found one of his contemporaries that owed him just a small debt. And he would not forgive him of the debt. He demanded his money. And the king found out, he said, listen here, I forgave you of this enormous, great debt, but yet and still you want to have your brother cast into prison for this little bitty debt that he owes you. What's the little bitty debt that somebody owe you that you haven't forgiven them of? What's the little wrong that somebody has done to you that you have not come to a place of forgiveness? You keep holding it over their head. Like you said, most of those folk done gone on about their business. They don't care nothing about you forgiving them. But we're still agonizing over it. We're still being upset over it. When we can forgive and release. Listen, forgiving someone does not mean forgetting it. You cannot forget some stuff. What forgiveness means that I'm not going to hold it to your account. As a matter of fact, I'm going to act like I forgot all about it. What does that say? That means that I'm not going to bring it up. When you begin to do that, God will, he'll turn it around. He'll have that same person come back around to you and apologize for what they've done to you. But even if they don't, you need to still forgive. The third thing is that when you're loving right, you're compassionate. You have some compassion. Compassion means to have empathy, to understand. It's not always to drag him before the courts. You don't have to bring that or broadcast that business and put it all in the street. Compassion means to empathize with others' struggles and to actively seek to alleviate other people's suffering. It's the guy that's out there on the street. It's the young lady that's struggling in her life. It's the teenager that is contemplating suicide. At the church, we're to have compassion on these people. Listen here, many times, I'm guilty myself. We'll walk by folk who stand in need. And we'll never stop to see how can we show compassion. Listen, this is what Jesus stood on the mountain and he looked out over Jerusalem. And the Bible said that he had compassion upon the people. Why? Because they were like sheep with no shepherd. And that's what the people outside of these four walls at. They are like sheep with no shepherds. And so therefore, we are to be a demonstration of the same compassion that Jesus had for the nation of Israel and for the church at large with the people who are outside of these four walls. We all need to take the gospel message. But there are some times that we need to also go in our pocket. There are some times that we need to sacrifice some stuff. That's how you demonstrate your love for one another. That's showing compassion for someone's life. Here's another. And the fourth one is that we'll operate in humility. That we won't be high-minded. Listen here. Jesus demonstrated this in the text by washing his disciples' feet. Understand that this was a very menial task. As a matter of fact, this was a task that the lowest servant in the house would undertake. But here we see the creator of the world. We see the redeemer of the world lowering himself, bending down on his knees, girding himself with a towel, taking their funky, dusty, dirty feet and washing them clean. That's humility. When's the last time that we've shown an act of humility? When's the last time you've shown an act of compassion? When's the last time you showed an act of selflessness? I'll leave that up to you. This is not for me to judge you, but it's for us to judge ourselves. The next one is that it shows in your generosity, in how you give to others. The book of Luke tells us that we're to give. It is not a suggestion. Christians should be some of the most giving people on the face of the earth. We need to give of our resources, but then you need to give some of your time too. Many of you could be doing a lot of stuff around here, around the church, but you just don't have the time. You don't have the giving spirit of giving your time and your effort to God's work. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. As a matter of fact, we're going to be reaching out to you when it comes to cleaning that building down there. So I'm coming. We're going to have a sign-up sheet. Amen. I'll see how many sign up. Amen. This is some of the stuff that I'm talking about. So some of us will walk past a piece of paper that's in the floor and won't even stop and bend down to pick it up, because you believe we got a custodial staff and that's their job. Many of us leave stuff in the pews and you walk away from here. You would never do that at home. But you'll leave it here in God's sacred house. Maybe you ought to donate some time to come out and help the cleaning staff. Amen. Maybe that might help us a little bit. Everybody want to believe that the church is all about money. No, this church is not all about money. No, there's some things that you give far better than money. You give in your time and your efforts. You give your gifts. There's a whole lot. There's quite a few people that are here in this church that have blessed this church with something that money cannot buy. Their giftedness. Their help, because they have this love, not just for God, but they have a love for God's people and God's house. And then lastly, you can see your love in your consistency. Do you just show up when you want to show up? Do you make a sacrifice to make it out to the house of worship? Do you make a sacrifice to be able to bless somebody else? And it needs to be consistent. You can't hit and miss every now and again and show up and expect God to do something. No, it takes a level of consistency. What if God was inconsistent with us? What if he just reached out and blessed us every now and again? What if you woke up tomorrow and there was no oxygen? How's that going to work out for you? But look here, God consistently let our years roll on, our days roll on. We wake up in the morning and we take it for granted, but God consistently, for the last 59 years, waking me up and say, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. God is always consistent when it comes to his love for us. And Jesus demonstrates that. So here he is. He demonstrates his love through his service. And that's a great indicator. If you really want to look at how well you are serving or how much you love, it'll be based upon how well you're serving others, how well you're serving his church. Because that's what Jesus has come to do. He came that he might give his life a ransom And it's all because of his love for us. It was Jesus Christ, the epitome of love. No greater love does a man have for his friend than he lay down his life for his friend. Jesus loved us, and he did something about it. He did not just love us in words, but his actions demonstrated the love that he had for us. And this is what he requires from us, that we would demonstrate the love that we show by the actions in which we do. For our faith without works is dead faith. Jesus didn't just talk about going to Calvary. He went all the way. He came down here with a purpose. And the purpose was wrapped in love. He came down and he lived amongst us. He worked and lived as a mere man. Just like you, just like me. Not only was he fully man, but he was fully God as well. You see, because it took fully God to pay the sin penalty for our sin. And Jesus did just that over 2,000 years at Calvary. He took upon our sins, upon him, on an old rugged cross. They nailed love to a cross, nailed him in his hands and in his feet. Pierced him in his side. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulder, and he died for our sin. The greatest act of love that any of us could experience. He gave his life for us. Because he gave his life for me, I'll give my life back to him. He was buried in a tomb, but rose again on the third day for my justification. Because he rose, I'm going to live as well. Glory to his name. He sits at the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for us. He's praying for us right now. I'm praying for you. That if you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, if you don't know him as your Savior, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to give your life unto Christ. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Is there one that will come? Jesus gave his life. He sacrificed his life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Is there another? Is there another? Jesus to Calvary to save a wretch that's love. Yes. Glory to your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Macedonia. To Pastor Minor and the entire Macedonia family, we have coming by Christian experience, Robin Keener, and she's a former member. And also we have coming by Christian experience, we have Brandon William, also a former member.
Brandon, God bless you, man. You just getting taller, man. I'm shrinking or what? Listen, man, you know, we've been praying for you, man. I thank God that you decided to come back home, man. Listen, we got some young men that need you. We have a lot of work that we have for you, right? We just got one last week, so I'm looking to it. God, listen, I've been praying for this. Y'all don't know that. I've been praying for this. This is answered prayer here. This is answered prayer here. So we're going to have you go with Reverend Register, and he's going to have prayer with you. How you doing? Good. Welcome home. I said, like they say, there's no place like home. And let me tell you something. We got some young ladies waiting on you as well. This is prayer. This is answered prayer here. I want y'all to know. Amen. God wants to use both of you. You guys are in the age demographic that God wants to use you. There's an age demographic that only y'all can reach. And that's what we're going to use. We're going to use your gifts, your personalities, your traits, that we might be able to attract them. Because we need them. That whole generation needs Jesus, and we need to take it to them. And that's what we endeavor to do. We take them to Jesus. All right? Amen. Have you go with Reverend Register, and he's going to have prayer with you and have you fill out some paperwork. Amen. And next first Sunday, we'll give you that right hand of fellowship. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Listen. When I tell you it's answered prayers, because I had to begin to pray. I mean, that's what we've been getting this campus down here ready for. And God is sending the people who are going to spearhead this. There are some people that they can reach that I can't reach, but I can train them on how to love people, how to reach people. And that's my part. That's what I endeavor to do, is to make sure that they are adequately trained. That's why I'm preaching like I'm preaching. I'm teaching like I'm teaching. I'm preaching, and I told Bible study, and I'm going to tell you this now. It's like I'm going to preach and teach where we need to be. I'm tired of preaching where we're at, because teaching where we're at won't get us nowhere. But when I begin to challenge you to come on up a little higher, that's what it's for. Because there's a tremendous opportunity for us. There's a tremendous opportunity for God to use us in this capacity. It's a generation that needs Jesus. And we have the words of life. Let's take it to them. Amen? Amen. I know this is a second big part of my sermon, but amen. Were you blessed this morning? Amen. I was blessed this morning. I thank God. Amen. All right. We're going to have now our clerk come and read our names of those who have come by Christian experience as well as those who have come by baptism. I'm going to ask that you come and stand in the front here when she calls your name.
Good afternoon again, Macedonia. We have new members as of today, March 3rd, 2024. We have coming as candidates for baptism, we have Genesee Buckner. Could you come and stand before Pastor as I call your name? I'm sorry, I omitted that. Alexander Smitherman. By Christian experience, we have Annie P. Dawson. And Marcellus Glasker.
He said, "You baptized my dad." I said, "Yeah, now I'm about to baptize you." Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, we thank God for you. As I've mentioned before, there's a lot of great churches that you could have been a member of, but God led you here. And I believe that. So with saying that, we're going to ask you to make your public profession of faith. And that's simply saying that I have accepted Jesus Christ. We need to hear this. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. We're going to start with you, Marcel. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen.
I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord.
Amen. 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 Great, 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 great. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Listen here. Now that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, how long will you serve him?
Forever.
Forever, always. That's good answers. Amen. In time as well as in eternity, because even when we get on the other side, we're still going to be worshiping him and praying him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're going to take the little crowns we have and toss it at his feet. He's always worthy to be praised and worshiped. Amen. Will you serve him by witnessing to others about his goodness and give your testimony about how God saved you? Are you willing to do that? All right, great, great, great. Will you pray not only for your loved ones, but listen here, also pray for your enemies? Amen. That's great. That's great. Listen, will you commit yourself to coming to regular Sunday morning worship service, Bible study? Come on now. In Sunday school, amen. Listen, the reason why we push this is because that's how we grow. It's not, you don't get a majority of your growth through Sunday morning worship, right? It's the place we should come and worship God in spirit and in truth. But you get your learning and your growth through Bible study, because that's where we have an opportunity to slow things down and get you to understand a little bit better. Amen? Okay, and Sunday school. Don't forget about Sunday school. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, let me ask you. You have your natural family. Now you have just inherited a spiritual family. Please stand to your feet. Turn around. This is your spiritual family now. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. These are your mothers, your fathers. Amen, 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 amen. We're going to ask that you'll have your seat to the side there so we'll be able to serve you first when it comes to communion. Over to the left. Amen. It is time for our second ordinance that the church has given, the first being baptism, which we've done already. Now we're going to serve in the Holy Communion. Our scripture concerning our communion this morning, we're going to ask the deacons to man the table. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto him, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." This is a warning that if you have not been saved, if you have not been water baptized, if you have not been re-energized by the Holy Spirit, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, that this is not for you. there is a warning here that tells us that if we take this and we have not been saved, that we drink damnation to our souls. And he says that many are sickly, and there are some that even sleep. That means that they die because of this. Even if you have been born again, and you have been saved, and you have some unconfessed sin in your life that you refuse to confess before God, then this is not for you either. So what we want to do, and I'm going to ask you to stand in prayer with me, and we're going to go before the Lord. As I'm praying, I'm asking that you would pray as well, and that you would ask God to forgive you of your sin, that you would confess it before him. If you harbor an unforgiveness in your heart, you need to take care of that. So we're going to look to God in prayer. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for your word. And God, we thank you for your salvation. And God, we remember the awesome price, the priceless price that was paid for our sin, Father. That was paid for our eternal life, God. It was at the sacrificing of your Son, Jesus Christ. How the blood flowed from his wounds. How water and blood came out when they pierced him in his side. The blood of the crown that was placed upon his head streamed down his face. It was at that price, God, that we have salvation, God. And Lord, that's what we come to remember today, Father, is what Christ did for us and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, Father. And God, we dare not take this holy sacrament with unconfessed sin in our lives, God. We're praying right now in the name of Jesus, God, that every sin, God, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we come confessing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. For God, you declared in your word that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. So, Father, we come confessing right now, Father, help us, God. Forgive us, Lord, that we might partake of this blessed sacrament, this holy communion, Father. We bless your name today. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Amen. We're going to ask that you remain standing, come from the outer walls to the front of the church and receive your communion. Please do not open it until you get back to your seats. There are receptacles on the outside of the sanctuary for you to discard your empties. Has everyone been served? Amen, amen, amen. Let us commune together. First the body, and then the blood. Amen. Our clerk to come again. It's time to give these the right hand of fellowship. You understand that we cannot vote people into the church. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you must be born into the citizenship of God's kingdom. And that's what this is. Amen.
As I call your name again, would you please come and stand before the church? Genesee Buckner, who's coming by baptism. Alexander Smitherman. By Christian experience, we have Annie P. Dawson and Marcellus Glasker.
Just as this certified that you're a member of the Macedonia Baptist Church, you baptized this third day of March 2022. Amen. Alexander, amen. Amen. This certifies that you're a member of the Macedonia Baptist Church this third day of March 2024. Amen. And God bless you. Let me give you the right hand. Come, please stand to your feet. Let's pray. Let us pray. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you today, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for this day, God. We thank you for all our eyes have seen and our ears have heard, God. We thank you for these that have come, Father, two by candidate, by baptism, two by Christian experience, God. And Lord, we thank you so much for their presence today, Father. We thank you that they have decided to be a part of this fellowship, God. We don't take it for granted. Now, Father, bless us as we depart from this place and go to our various destinations, God. We ask that you'll bless us and keep us, Heavenly Father, Lord, till we meet again, if it be thy holy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please give them a right hand of fellowship. Amen.